Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, a show where we interview the most influential people in real estate to teach you how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more customers.
What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Pumped today to be talking to team building extraordinaire, Mr. Travis Robertson. Dude, thank you so much for agreeing to jump on the podcast.
Man, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here and to get to connect with you and your audience.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's dive right into this, man. Tell us your story. Who are you? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, my name is, like you mentioned, Travis Robertson, and I am the CEO and founder of a company called Don't Settle Coaching. And we are one of the fastest growing coaching and training companies for real estate professionals in North America, and we're ranked by Inman as one of the top coaching companies for real estate professionals in the world. And so all that fun stuff. But my background is actually technology and marketing, believe it or not. And so years and years and years ago, I'm older than I look, I was in the tech industry and I started as a software developer and became the chief technology officer of the first company at 23. And then built that up and then moved to another company and we built up a marketing company for the legal industry and the healthcare industry and did that for about 10 years. So I was in the tech industry for 10, 11 years. Long story short is I was burning out like crazy. I was working 100-hour weeks, 11 years, 10 straight, and it'll just kill you. And it nearly did physically, emotionally. I mean, I was just burning out and had some real health challenges. So I was like, I'm going to take a year off. So I walked away from it all, said, I'm going to take a year off, got really bored because I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And like, okay, I need to do something. Started building some other companies, working on some stuff, did turnaround consulting. And ultimately somebody asked me to come speak at a conference. And I was like, I don't know. I've never done this whole speaking thing. Fell in love with speaking. It started speaking in the tech world, got invited to the real estate industry. Somebody said, you got to bring your message to the real estate industry. So I did. And that just fired it off because I got off stage and people were like, do you do coaching? And I said, absolutely, I do coaching. And they're like, how much do you charge? And I said, let me get your card. We'll connect after this is all over. And I'll absolutely get you pricing and we'll talk about the investment and all of that. And I, Grant, no joke, this is, I can say this now because it's been years, but I had to go home and Google, what is coaching? Like, I had no idea. I'm like, oh, this is turnaround consulting for small businesses. I can do this. And so we started, I started coaching people while I was on the speaking circuit. And then about 6 years ago, I launched this company specific to real estate professionals. And now we're expanding beyond just the real estate industry. And we've been blessed to work with some of the top producing agents in the world and thousands of agents all over the country and all over the world. And it's just fun helping them build teams and build high profit, high margin businesses that they work less in. And that is kind of what we do. We specialize in helping people build high 6 and 7 figure real estate businesses by working less and leveraging the power of awesome people working towards a team and building that up. And, you know, my background not being real estate is actually a benefit because people, yeah. you know, the number one question people asked me, and you can imagine, Grant, is that they said, well, how can you teach, you know, how can you coach real estate agents? You've never sold real estate. I'm like, I'm not teaching them how to sell real estate. Honestly, if you don't know how to sell real estate, you got bigger problems. Yeah. I'm teaching you how to build a business and a team around the art of real estate. So you be really good at real estate. That's your job. I'll teach you how to build a team around it and put the structure and the systems and the marketing and lead gen and conversion and team in place to make it really, really profitable for you.
Yeah, I get asked that all the time because I'm not in real estate either. I'm a marketing guy. I exclusively focus my time and energy on marketing and sales. And people always say, how can you teach people how to sell houses if you've never sold one? And I said, you're probably the same way that I taught doctors how to grow their business, even though I never cracked a heart open before, or the same way that I helped.
You'll admit to. There was that one time in Mexico.
So, you know, I always tell people like, look, if you're going to try to get somebody to generate more leads for a doctor's office, they're not going to call another doctor. They're going to call a marketer because I understand psychology and consumer behavior and those different types of things that really drive the industries forward. And then I think it's the, I'm glad that you say that. I mean, I think it's the same way in business. Marketing is marketing, sales is sales, business is business. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you sell houses or you sell pizzas. The principles that guide those businesses are the exact same. I was actually in some business competitions when I was much younger. And the first question I got asked by this, you know, old consultant guy that was consulting on the competition said, "What is your process?" I was like, "What the heck are you talking about?" I said, "Businesses have processes. What is your process?" And that's probably where I learned my first lesson about, you know, there's just laws that exist in business, no matter what they are. So it's nice when people can come in with a fresh set of eyes. You know, we recently had a consultant in our business for a short period of time. Dude walks in, he's got four brilliant ideas in 24 hours. It's like, why didn't we see that? It's like, well, you weren't looking, and that's my job. So,
And you know, here's the other side of it is that if all we get is advice from one dimension, we lose a creative way of thinking of things. So how many business books do we read, Grant? I mean, I can only imagine you read as much as I do.
Library.
And the whole idea is I pick up something from somebody who's not in any related industry, but I go, that is really fascinating. I talked with somebody yesterday who runs a call center. And I don't run a call center. That's not what we do. But what he was doing with their leadership and some cool things with their sales team, I was like, that's, and he wasn't even trying to teach me something. I was just asking him, how are you doing this? And I was taking notes going, this is amazing. I'm going to take this back to the team, figure out what this looks like for me. But he doesn't run a coaching company. And yet I can learn if I'm open to new ways of doing it. And I think we expand our horizons the more we get outside of just one industry or one viewpoint.
It's the ultimate form of disruption too. I mean, you look at some of the most successful people in the world, they were able to combine industries in a series of different ways. They were able to combine technology with a profession or an ideology with another one, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's just the ultimate form of disruption. When you take people that can look at things from a different vantage point and come in and, you know, change the game for sure. So let's talk about teams for a second. What are some of the top, and this is a scapegoat question, it's an easy and I got some harder ones coming for you, but what are some of the top mistakes that you see people make when it goes to running a team? Because, you know, kind of like we talked about, if you do it right, you basically make money for nothing, for no time, right? For no time. And you can get away with doing so little and make so much money. But if you do it wrong, it's one of the biggest nightmares you can live in on a daily basis. So what are some of the things that, you know, people do wrong when it comes to building a team?
I think the very first thing they do, Grant, and it's not a scapegoat question. It's actually a really important question, which is, number one, the biggest mistake people make is they're not mentally ready for the team. And they're not prepared for getting in the mindset of a leader. They don't know what it means to be a leader. They don't know. They're not prepared to have the difficult conversations. They're not prepared to fire people. They're not prepared to sit somebody down and go, you're underperforming. And if you're not going to be willing to have the hard conversations, you're not ready for a team. If you're not at a position where, because everybody's like, oh, I want to work less, so I'm going to build a team. I'm like, don't build a team if you want to work less right away, because in the beginning, you're going to double your hours. You're going to triple your hours. Your time in the business is going to go up dramatically. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to miss hire. You're going to not follow a system correctly if you're in, and that's kind of mistake number two, is they don't follow a proven system. So they're mentally not ready. And then they just run out and wing it. And they run out and they go, well, I needed somebody yesterday, so I'll hire somebody today without any sort of screening process, without any sort of system that they're following, and they go off of gut. Well, I just got a gut feeling about this person. Well, I can tell you, your gut's an idiot. So that's more indigestion than it is.
I feel like things aren't going the right way, or that I feel like they're going really good. I was like, where are your numbers? Show them to me. It's like, what are you talking about? I don't have any of that stuff. It's like, I just feel really good about this.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just really like them. I'm like, you're hiring yourself. And that's the worst thing you could do, is hire yourself, which is kind of number three, is when you don't have a system, people tend to hire out of order. So in real estate, a great example of this is hiring a salesperson before you hire an administrative assistant. And it's the old saying, if you don't have an admin on the team, guess who's the admin? You are. And so if you don't have an admin and you're busy and you're like, man, I can't keep up with all the work, and you think, I'm going to hire another agent because they're going to take some of the work and then I'll have the money to hire the assistant, you'll never have either. And that agent's going to come in. They're a tornado looking for a place to land. They suck at systems. They suck at paperwork, which means you're babysitting their documents. You're babysitting their transactions. They're running all over the place. You have no accountability, no oversight. And now everything's falling apart. You're selling less. They're not selling. And you're still doing their paperwork because they're not doing it. And it's just a hot mess. And so when you don't have a process and you don't think about hiring the right way, you're setting yourself up to really fail. And that's where when you hire out of order, because you're not following a process, because you haven't gotten your mindset right, you're going to see the vast majority of mistakes. The fourth mistake I see people make, Grant, is that they don't get control of their lead flow first. And here's where I get to kind of slaughter a sacred cow. And I'm a big fan of repeat and referral business, but I'm going to say something that's going to piss some people off. And don't mishear what I'm about to say. I'm not saying don't get repeat and referral, but I'm a big believer that you should get no more than max 60 to 70% of your business from repeat referral, because you can't control repeat referral. You can only influence it, which is why the work you're doing, Grant, the work we teach our clients, it's all about controlling lead flow. So while I can influence repeat referral, I can't control it. And so if all you're getting is repeat referral and thinking you're going to scale, you're screwed. You've got to be able to throttle your lead flow up and back at will. And the only way to do that is intentional marketing strategies like Facebook ads, Google ads, Zillow, other sources where I know that for every dollar I invest, I can get leads back into the system. And when I have that control, then I'm ready to start building a team. And then the fifth mistake we see people make is that they compensate poorly and they don't leave themselves room for margin to be able to scale. And so they're always compensating from a position of weakness, compensating from a position of fear of, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how other people do this. And because of that, they put themselves in situations where when it comes time to invest and time to scale, they're not actually making any money. And most team leaders run nonprofits. They just don't know it. Mm. And that most team leaders we see when they come to us would actually make more as a solo agent than they would as a team leader because of the way they've structured their team. They just play funny math with the numbers. And when we break it down for them, they realize that, oh my gosh, I'm actually funding the team. The team's not making me any money. And they often are working more for less with more headache and people that aren't truly committed to the team or to the clients. So those are the big mistakes, top five mistakes we see people make. And it's all related to what they're doing.
Yeah. Those are some big mistakes for sure. And I'm going to pick one and kind of dive into it.
Yeah.
Combine both of our two worlds. You know, I'm a huge marketing fan. And you know, my next question was to be, how important do you think marketing is to growing a team? And you kind of alluded to it. And I love what you said right there, because it is just so much truth that referrals are great, but referrals are also the key to riding the real estate roller coaster. It's also the keys to, you know, basically having a business that plays with your emotions 24/7. It's also a lot of different things. If you do not have a way to predictively make money, you do not really have a business, and you really don't have much business building a team.
No.
So let's elaborate on this a little bit. How important do you think, and you kind of alluded to it obviously, but how important do you believe it is to start building out lead systems? And maybe what are some ways that you teach people to build out lead models, you know, in their business?
Great question. And it's fundamentally critical. And you're absolutely right, Grant. If you can't control your lead flow, you actually don't have a business. What you have is something that is 100% dependent on the goodwill of other people and their ability to remember you in the moment when somebody goes, hey, who should I call about this? But the problem with this industry and with any industry is social media. We're all now connected. Let's take real estate as an example, or mortgage as an example. How many realtors and mortgage professionals do most people connect with on Facebook? Dozens. So it's no longer 1995. Pre most of the internet, I mean, dial-up was still there, but pre, you know, the real internet, what was happening is most of us only knew a handful of realtors, a handful of mortgage professionals. And so top of mind awareness was a lot easier. It was a lot simpler to only connect with somebody because you had your guy, your gal, and that was kind of the, you had a smaller network. Now we're connected so much that repeat referral is a horrible strategy to build long-term off of as the primary source of your income. In fact, doing it is just, like you said, it's a death sentence for running the real estate roller coaster because you can only influence it. You can't control it. So it's critical to get control of your lead flow, and it's critical to have very specific marketing strategies. Now, what we teach and what we encourage our clients is that we don't really care. I mean, we care how you do it because we do believe there are better ones than others, but what we want you to be able to do is predict it. The biggest factor in all of this is predictability, because if all you're doing is repeat referral, every night you go to bed, you wake up the next day going, I sure hope I have somebody call me. I sure hope I have somebody reach out. And all the people who teach repeat referral or buy referral only, or I'm never too busy, all those people, massive respect for what they do on some levels, but they don't even run their own businesses off of the strategies that they purport to teach to everybody else. They advertise, they market, they prospect, they call, they do all those other things on top of repeat referral. So it's critical. Now, what are the sources that we believe you should be investing in? Number one, Facebook. I think it's the single best source of leads out there right now for most industries is Facebook. And we see that they have the lowest cost per lead. The one thing people mistake is they think they're all going to be hot, and they're not. Facebook, while it has a really low cost per lead, also has one of the longer lead cycles. That's okay as long as you're prepped for it and you know what's coming. But it's a numbers game. So some of them are going to be hot. You just have to know how to leverage it. But we see clients getting, you know, $3-4 very consistently in very good markets per lead, and that's buy side leads. The second thing, and people go, well, what about listing leads? Well, here's the Grant, you probably know this stat too, but about 30 to 40% of all buyer leads you generate also have a home to sell. So they're also listing leads if you know how to identify them. So you don't have to generate separate listing leads all the time if you know how to generate buyer leads and then identify the listing leads in that group. Second source we strongly recommend people get to as quickly as possible is Google. Google Ad works great. Higher cost per lead, shorter lead cycle than Facebook. So as numbers go, I like that split. I like being able to put a percentage of your budget towards Facebook, a percentage toward Google Ads, and understand what you're getting with each one and you know, leverage both for what they're really good at. Number three, if you're in real estate, is Zillow. I don't care if you hate them. They're number three. And if you don't have money, number four is open houses done well. Still one of the best strategies out there for generating leads and getting control over your lead flow is open houses if you do them well. Most people run them like a funeral. So they're lifeless. You know, somebody might have died in the home and you're not sure if you should talk when you walk through there. But open houses, I without fail tell brand new agents, you can make six figures your first year simply sitting open houses 1 to 2 a week for the first year. You'll make six figures. It's not hard, or it's not complicated, but it's hard work. And so you've just got to get, you got to hustle, you know, much like your hat says there, Grant, is you got to hustle. You got to be able to put the work in. Of course, you don't have listings, but there are agents that do. You sit them, you hustle, you make it work, and you won't have to do that forever. You do it for a year, and then you're going to have the money to invest into Facebook, Zillow, Google, all of the other sources that you might want to put money into. And then number five is geographic farming. And that's a big word that means a lot of different things. Not my favorite. I think it's something that you do down the road when you have more money and you have, you know, systems that you're able to build up, but it could be FSBOs, expireds, direct mail. It could be, you know, door knocking, which I think is a waste of time on for most people. I'm a big believer in online marketing. It's my background. It's your background. I just think if I need business tomorrow, open houses and ads, I can run all day long and I can, I know every night I go to bed how many leads I'm going to have in the morning when I wake up. So do our clients. And it gives you so much more confidence in your business. And I just think everybody should be advertising.
1,000%. I couldn't agree more. Now, I'm a Facebook marketing agency, like that's all we do, but I couldn't agree more. I mean, we were living in a time where, you know, real estate agents caught, we have a client, she sells a home every $72 she spends on Facebook ads.
Yeah.
4,000%+ return on investment, return on ad spend. You don't see those numbers anywhere. And nope. You cannot, if you're a real estate agent, you cannot sit there and argue with me that I get my deals free because I invest my time to get them. Look, bro, your time costs money. Like, you've got to understand how what your value per hour is. Most real estate agents, quote unquote, value themselves at $100 an hour or $400 an hour without actually putting any math to it to see what it is. I think a lot of people find they pay themselves like $27 an hour, maybe. But you know, if you're paying yourself $100 an hour and you got to hustle all week, 40 hours a day to get a deal. 40 hours a week to get a deal, that's $4,000 it costs you to get that customer. It's actually more expensive. Do it with your time. I don't believe that you should be out there prospecting like that. It's not a good use of your time in any way, shape, or form.
No.
I 1,000% agree that you've got to create predictability. It's just the only way to know if you can grow. And we do this with our salespeople. We'll get a salesperson to 6 to 8 appointments a day. That's how many appointments we'll generate for them a day.
Yep.
Once they're at capacity and they're performing, usually it takes 90 days for them to really get dialed in. Then we know, okay, we're going to turn up and stress test them a little bit. We're going to move them from 6 appointments a day to maybe 8 or 10 appointments a day while we transition somebody new in that they're going to, you know, train. And we go through the same process, get them dialed in, takes their 90 days. They're getting 6 to 8 appointments a day. And we grow that way. We could grow like crazy, hire dozens of people, generate all the appointments in the world, and we would go out of business because we would spend a ton of money, we generate a lot of appointments, and nobody would close any deals. But because we grow in a more kind of rhythmic fashion where we're getting dialed in and then we're bringing on the next person, we're able to grow predictively, maybe it's also patiently as well. But how important do you think that is, talking about lead generation, talking about cold leads, warm leads, hot leads, people that, with Facebook, we understand that some leads are coming to you a little sooner than most other leads would be. How important do you think patience is to the business building process, marketing, sales, all those things?
I think you have to have, I think patience is critical, but I also would stress that patience isn't laziness. And I think a lot of times people use patience as, I'm being patient. And I'm like, no, you're being lazy. And so it's that yin and yang, if you will. It's like, I need to play the long game, but I also need to hustle the short game. And I need to be willing to put the time and the effort in now and grow strategically and not grow beyond my cash flow. That's really, and that's kind of what you're talking about, Grant. And it's something that, you know, we have to always look at. You know, we know our numbers. What's our cost per click, our cost per lead, our cost per acquisition? What's our cost per call? What's our revenue per call? And this is what we teach our clients to get a handle on, because I now know that every call costs X to get, but my revenue per call is Y. Is that winning? Yes or no? It's a math problem at that point. And when you start to look at the numbers and track this stuff, and you're right, because you said it, Grant, if you think you get leads for free, you don't. Nobody gets leads for free. It's going to cost you time or money. Pick. Now, it may cost you both, but you have to understand the time value of money. And this is where, if you don't understand what your real value is and how much it's really costing you, what else could you be doing with that time? And when you know your numbers, you know your math, and you have that control over your business, where you go to bed every night knowing that tomorrow I'm going to have 6 appointments. And of those appointments, X are going to show. And of those, we'll enroll X%. And you have your math, you know your numbers, you have a predictability to your business. There's a lot less stress in life when you do that. But if you're waking up every day going, I get my leads for free and all I have to do is just call 17,000 people to make it happen, is it really free? You know, and it's like, oh, I just cold called down the phone book. I'm like, well, welcome to the 1980s. They'd like their strategy back. There are better ways to do this. And Facebook, Google, Zillow, sources where I invest money and I get return, then I build systems to support it, are always going to make me more money. And I'm just going to have more fun doing it.
Absolutely. Not going to get as burnt out as fast as people that are sitting there dialing for dollars day in and day out.
Yeah. Especially you can always dial if you're, you know, and Grant, you run a Facebook ad agency and you know this, there are times Facebook just takes a dive. Like back in, what was it? February or so this year, like 2019, like Facebook just was like, and so look, a lot of us got our ads shut off for a period of time for no reason whatsoever, other than Facebook was just in a wild hair mode.
Or they didn't shut ads off. They just shut off your access to Ads Manager while they kept spending your money. That was another fun play. But
yeah,
let that be a reason that you don't spend money on Facebook as a real estate agent.
No. But in those moments, you can always dial. You can always make calls. It's not like you're, you know, it's not like, well, I'll just sat back and went, well, crap, I'm going out of business. It was like, okay, guys, this is what's going on.
So to speak, for sure. Yeah. But yeah. There's, and I'm not trying to sound like a wimp here or anything like that, but the thing that gets so many people so burnt out is the emotional turmoil of doing those old school type strategies, door knocking, cold calling. I can't tell you how many Facebook groups and real estate forums that I'm, you know, people are in there. All right, I drank my 50 Red Bulls this morning. I've listened to a dozen affirmations. We're gonna make phone calls. And it's like, wait, what? Why are you doing that? Like, I commend you because you're willing to do the work.
Yeah.
But that is freaking tiring. It's one thing to get tired physically.
Yeah.
It's a completely different world to be tired mentally and emotionally because you are a whole new level of exhausted. And that's why so many people, I think, burn out so fast trying to do it those ways when there are other very easy, predictable ways to go out there and grow businesses.
Yeah. And what happens is people come into this industry and they get surrounded in the office by, you know, surly, frustrated, burnt out people telling them strategies that they used to get surly, burnt out, and frustrated. They're like, kid, you don't need coaching. Make your calls. There's your coaching. You know, you don't need any of this Facebook. Just get out there and door knock. End up just like me.
Major league.
You know, and it's like, wait a minute. Why are we taking advice from people that hate life and hate their clients and hate homes and hate the industry?
And hate the strategies they're asking you to deploy. Right. I guarantee you that if you have a broker that says, just go call more people, and you grab somebody else's phone and cold called that guy, he wouldn't answer the gosh damn phone. He would appalled that somebody was calling me, would probably walk into the room and say, gosh dang telemarketers, or something like that.
And you go, oh, so how many recruiting calls have you made today? Oh, that's right, none. Because you're struggling with the same thing that you're telling other people to do. It's all just regurgitated advice that doesn't work. I mean, let's just ask the question. Given the option, would you rather wake up every day knowing you had 5 new opportunities sitting in your inbox, or would you rather wake up each day going, I have nothing, let me go door knock 100 homes? Pick.
Yeah.
Both are options. Which would you prefer?
If you're listening to this right now, don't let your ego take over your thought process. If you're listening to us talk, because the ego will say, these guys don't know what they're talking about. They just don't like making calls. I'm a unicorn. I can do this in my sleep. So on and so forth. Don't let your ego drive yourself into this conversation, because I guarantee you don't answer the phone when you get cold called either. And I guarantee you, if you were kicking it at your house and somebody randomly showed up knocking on your door, you'd be trying to find your 9mm wondering who the heck is at your front door, right? That's just society that we live in today. If you don't, and this is something that's just got to stop. If we don't like when these things are done to us, why are we so incessantly pushing them on other people? It just doesn't make sense. It's a broken system.
And look, and that's really all it is it's ego. It's like, well, you know, and you know, you can have your ego or you can have your income. Pick. And you can have your ego, you can have a better business. You know, you may make money, great. Our clients make more. You know, our average coaching client earns $522,221 a year. You can't do that as a solo agent prospecting unless you're prospecting Beverly Hills and you're doing enough and, you know, you make it, but they're not doing that. It's just, and
everyone's got the Josh Altman walked into Starbucks, got an MBA started.
Yeah. Like,
house type story. Like, that's just not the reality.
It's not, most people don't live in that. They're in the median. There are markets that are below median. You're not going to get where you want to go if all it depends on is you dialing for dollars every day. You can only do that for so long before you hit burnout. And then what happens when you go on vacation? What happens when you get sick? What happens when you just have a bad year? What happens when cold call laws change? What happened? Like, it's always shifting, which is happening right now.
Right now, for sure. That's a right now thing.
Yeah.
We're programming call technology into a lot of the stuff that we're doing, and we have to be so careful because of what's happening with robo dialers and softwares like CallFire and all these Mojo Dialer and all these platforms that the laws that are surrounding those specific softwares are getting very, very, very close to basically the cord, making some of those things illegal. And so you definitely have to be aware with what's going on. I mean, we're evolving so fast as a society right now that you constantly have to be paying attention. You have to evolve faster than you ever have. And if you're not, you're not necessarily destined for the greatness that you might have in your mind. That's just a fact. Man, I feel like I got a million questions that I can continue to ask you, but I know your time is valuable, and I want some of the people that's minds are spinning right now to just reach out to you personally and ask you some of the questions that they've got going on in their minds. Probably some of the questions would be like, all right, I don't want some of that $500,000 money that guy just talked about. His average client makes. That sounds pretty awesome. And if somebody wanted to reach out and connect with you, what is the single greatest way for them to do that?
Best way to do it is I'd encourage you to get on the phone with somebody on my team. We'd love to talk with you, and you can go to travisrobertson.com. And if you want to just jump straight to booking a call with somebody on my team and let us work with you on figuring out where you're at, where you want to go, and putting together a game plan to get there, you can go to travisrobertson.com/apply. Book a call with somebody on my team. We'll talk with you. We'll see what you're doing. And if we can help you, we'll tell you. And if we can't, we're the first ones to point you in the right direction and try and get you the help you need. So we're not for everybody. Everybody's not for us, but we will help you one way or the other. And so main website, travisrobertson.com, or you can just hit travisrobertson.com/apply and book a call with somebody on my team. We'd love to help you guys.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Awesome. I highly encourage you guys, if you're listening to this, go check Travis out. The dude is legit, knows his stuff, and has a very proven track record for helping his clients succeed at a really high level. You guys would not be sorry you did. We'll make sure that we link that below in the show notes. I thank you so much again, Travis, for swinging by today, man. I had a blast, and I'm looking forward to staying connected further on in the future. And I just want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Marketing Genius Podcast. We will see you guys on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Please make sure you remember to rate us on iTunes and Google Play so we can continue to bring you interviews of some of the most influential people in real estate to help you grow your business.